Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. It is Thursday night, and it is Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. We seem to have technology issues taken care of.
What?
Beautiful day in Myrtle Beach. I don't know how it's been everywhere else, but we'll find out. First of all, well, of course, you know, if there's a motorcycle, it has to be in Myrtle Beach. So anyway, Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm just watching my boys, the Steelers, put a whooping on Carolina, 21-7 thus far. Life is good.
Okay. You're a happy football camper. That's great to hear. Glad to hear it. Dave Atwell, how are you tonight?
Well, not doing too bad. You guys will have to pardon my voice for some reason halfway through the day. I guess I had a reoccurring puberty, and my voice keeps seeming to go in and out. Probably an amalgam of the sudden weather change and the amount of shouting I had to do at work today. But nevertheless, again, I apologize for my voice going in and out tonight. Sounds awful.
Dave, did you lose your voice asking for a raise?
It's gotten to the point anymore where it's like raise schmays. It's the retirement bell is ringing so loud these days. You know, when you just get to that point where you just, whatever you do in life, be it with a marriage or a job or a place or a hobby or whatever, when you would rather sit in a dentist chair than to be doing that, you know it's time to go. And I swear I ain't never wanted a root canal so bad in my life. So, yeah, it's getting there. Very close to being there.
It's like the worst pain you ever feel in your life, trust me. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah.
It's the worst.
Just like work.
The worst.
Well, let's talk about this. No pain tonight, I'll tell you that. Well, Dave, we're glad to have you here with us. Todd, you're back. Glad you're back with us tonight. How are you doing?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, and wondering how much stinking colder it's going to get up here. I got my thermostat set at a sweltering 66 degrees Fahrenheit, and the heat keeps running about every 45 minutes. Balmy, 66. But, oh, man, more than happy to be back. Got to apologize for last week, guys. I fell victim to a long week.
Gotcha. I understand.
Do you feel like Kurt Russell in The Thing yet? The movie The Thing with Kurt Russell?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Remember he's up in the North Pole somewhere? He finds that creature.
Oh, yeah, actually, they were in Antarctica for that. I do believe they were.
Oh, yeah, they're the South Pole, excuse me. They're on the other end of the world, yeah. And he finds
supposed to be in the 50s day after tomorrow, from what I understand. And that's part of the problem.
Am I supposed to feel bad for you about that? We're expecting sleet and snow tonight.
It was 80 day before yesterday. I mean, we had to shut the windows. We had to turn the air conditioning back on. And now, you know, standing outside with a flannel shirt on right now, and then day after tomorrow, it's supposed to be like 50 for the high. 4 days ago, it was 80. You know, it's like, come on, man. I know it's typical Carolina weather, but,
I'm about to do like one of the McKenzie brothers and ask and be pulling the toque out of my luggage because it's getting
cold. I love that
cold.
Movie. The hosers.
Take off,
God,
B.
Strange brew, man.
Yeah, that's true. It's always a lot of fun here at Pop Culture Stars and see what's going on. We have tonight an old friend and a great friend and someone who's entertaining, funny, and if I say anything else, he's going to have to pay me, okay? And from Eno River Media, we got Anthony Dowling. And Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
Well, you awesome. Know, John, Dr. John, I am fine tonight.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Good to have you aboard, sir.
It is great to be aboard. I always enjoy the conversations we have.
That's good. I tell you what, I'm just glad to still be alive. Put on it's been about to wear me out. Good to be able to take a real relax and talk to good old friend Anthony. So Anthony, first of all, before I told you we'd let you pick a topic, but I just wanted to ask you, what's Eno River Media up to? For those of you that don't know about Eno River Media, it is one of the leading film advocacy groups in the country, in North Carolina, and the Carolinas in general are really glad that Eno River is around. So what are you guys up to right now?
Thank you, Dr. John, for that intro into let me talk about my favorite subject. That's not me. That's Eno River. I would like to say a little point of order. If you come, you're coming in and out to me, John. So if you could get a little more steady signal somewhere.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, while he's working on it, let me inform all the listeners out there. Just a brief review. Eno River Media was created in 1999, March of. So as you can imagine, we're kind of getting excited because March 2019 is going to be our 20-year anniversary.
All right.
Yes, outstanding.
Yes, sirree, Bob. And we have seen many iterations. But through it all, one of the things that we've always wanted was a bigger, better, robust movie and television industry in North Carolina. And that's what we've focused on in the last, let's say, since 2010. In the beginning, we did a lot of production work. And then we realized we were surrounded by people that could do it better. So we let them do that. But what we did best was communicate within the industry with the other industry professionals, spread the word, and talk with the legislatures about how to get a better economy going for our industry. And I would say since 2013, when we really started getting into it and going down to the legislature buildings down in Raleigh, North Carolina, we have come a long way. And we're thrilled with that. It has been incremental little steps, but they're there. They're steps nonetheless, and they're going in the right direction. And none of that would have happened if we hadn't have been there banging the drum, because there's in the film and television world, there are two entities. It's the locals and independents versus Hollywood folks. And Hollywood folks want all the eggs in their basket. They don't want to share. And we're here to kind of see that they share with the state. And that's slowly but surely what's happening. So we're excited about that. We have a bunch of things that happen throughout our year, and a lot of those things are going to be happening in the next 2 months, and we're kind of excited about that. It's almost overtaxing, actually, but it's a bunch of recognition stuff that we do, and we're kind of, we're looking forward to that this part of the year. It's kind of fun, really. My year kind of kicks off with a little ceremony I go to on Halloween Eve or Halloween night, the eve to November 1st. And I went to that, had a grand time, and that kind of got me in the mood for the rest of the holiday season as it comes my way. So, and I, back in the day, the organization used to have about 140 members. Nowadays, we've pared it down since we're really only doing advocacy work and recognition work to about 23 people. So that's way more manageable than 140, as you can imagine. So we're trying to be light and nimble and kind of, you know, go with the flow when we need to. Are there any questions on any of what I just said?
Well,
okay.
You put out some pretty fancy awards, I'll tell you that. What are some of those awards you've got? I think they're really kind of neat.
Well, that's part of the recognition stuff that we do. One is, you may or may not know that a film crew or a television crew really honestly runs on beer. And there's a lot of craft beer sold in the state. So we have an award called the Eno Spirits Award. And we identify certain beers from certain vendors across the state, and we issue an award for those beers that were recommended by people in the industry. And we do that yearly. We also do an award certificate because when they're not drinking beer, they're eating. And you're usually eating at some place, either quick or a little more formal for meetings. So we have a 21 different categories, and we take 7 of those and give an award out in 4 different counties for those categories. And we do that. We go through those 21, you know, first group of 7, then second group of 7, and third group of 7. And, oh, we've been doing that for years and years now. And we're about to issue those awards out. We have something that hopefully Dr. John's going to be helping us with. And it's called Miss Carolina Lily. Miss Carolina Lily. It's a young lady who helps us hand out these awards. And she, the whole purpose of her was to kind of highlight how the industry is green friendly. A lot of the stuff that's used on a set will be reused in different sets. They'll take it apart and reuse the lumber. And that's kind of, the industry generally has been fairly green for quite some time. That's kind of not a new concept. They try to keep the expenses of doing a movie down as low as they can. So she represents that. And in December, we have a meeting with the current board of directors. They get together here in Raleigh, and there's a holiday party that the governor throws that we attend. And she's usually with us, and we get some pictures at the governor's mansion and the state capitol all decked out for Christmas with the governor and Santa Claus. So that's always, I look forward to that. That's the beginning of December. So those are just some of the things that we are working on.
All right. Well, you mentioned my name. This is Dr. John, and I'll tell you, everybody keep June 8th and 9th open. Invitations will be going out shortly. It's a lot of fun. I'll just leave it at that one. Okay, Anthony?
Yes, sir.
Got it. All right. Well, look, thanks. That's kind of a good overview. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we lunge into our first topic here?
Yeah, well, I just know one of the things, or I seem to recall there was an event involving the Venus flytraps. Is that correct?
Yes, there is. The one of the things that we've identified as a unique plant to just a small part of South Carolina, but majority of the habitat, natural habitat for the Venus flytrap is up in around Wilmington, North Carolina. And we've utilized that plant several times as something to draw attention to, you know, the green aspect of the culture. And Dr. John has highlighted it several times in some of his cons at our table.
So yeah,
it's a wonderfully unique plant. It gathered a lot of Darwin's attention. Not that I think a lot of him, but I appreciate the way he thought of the plant.
Yeah, I did not know that he had paid attention to it.
Oh, yeah.
You're just such a unique plant. It's awesome.
I like the little shop of horrors being flytrap better.
It's way bigger. It's way, way bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God, come to think of it, on WKRP, I actually like Venus flytrap there.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, we got our Venus flytrap envy out, and yeah, Venus flytrap's pretty cool. We even had some at the Steampunk Mid-Atlantic to celebrate Gomez and Morticia. And so, great. Maybe that was a ghost. Anyway, Anthony, I told you that you were the first topic tonight. What topic do you need to start exploring?
Say it again, John. You broke up a little bit.
I broke up all over. What I was going to say is I told you we'd give you the first topic. So what have you got for us?
Well, it's interesting. The two movies that folks mentioned in the beginning here, one was, I think it was called The Thing, that happened down in the South Pole.
Yep.
Right.
Todd, right? You're correct. It was Antarctica.
Okay.
It up. You're right. It was Antarctica.
And
yes.
That has, there's been something on my mind a little bit now. I have met some people. And we're going to see if anybody is sharp here. I would not expect you to know that there is such a place or who's from it. But does anybody know who's from Snowflake, Arizona?
Snowflake, Arizona.
Snowflake, Arizona.
Wow.
Nancy Pelosi.
The millennials. No.
It was just a word association thing. I was working here.
I was trying, you know, and I'm trying not to Google.
No, go ahead, Google.
Oh, man, that's funny.
There's another movie that I might mention.
Mm-hmm.
Fire in the Sky.
Oh,
yeah, that's the old alien abduction movie, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Patrick was
Neil Patrick
was in that one. Patrick. The guy that was the Terminator. And Terminator 2.
I don't know. I do know that the Rockford Files guy was
right.
The sheriff, the investigator.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the whole reason I mentioned that, I thought it would be interesting to talk about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say that I have seen a UFO. I have friends that swear they have. I have not had any friends that said they saw something. They saw something in the sky, a light that was zipping along, or stopped and then zipped along again. But nothing like a discernible, oh my goodness, look at this UFO. Well, the whole reason I bring up Fire in the Sky in Snowflake, Arizona is I met somebody who was from Snowflake and who knew that guy's family. Travis, I think his name is. And we were talking, and I got to be fairly good friends with him. And one time we were talking, the guy said, well, I could just call my mom and we'll get his number and we'll just call him. Do you want to? No, I do not want to do that. That would have been cool, but I didn't have anything particular to say. But here's the gist of it, though. It's a small city, as you can imagine. It's very, very Mormon, as you can imagine. And they don't doubt him. They believe that something did happen to him, the community. He is not looked at as crazy. They don't know exactly what, but they truly do believe. And to this day, he has maintained his story. And he makes little money off of it. He goes to some of the UFO conventions when he's invited. But generally, he does his logging. He's a logger.
I remember this one.
Yeah. So my thing is, if a community full of, quote, sober Mormons feel that something happened, and this is decades now. This isn't 5 years ago. This is three decades ago. Maybe there is something to it. I've not experienced it. And my question is, has anybody on this call experienced anything similar or anything to do with UFOs where you were not a believer and now you are? That's my question.
Well, I can't honestly say I've seen anything when it comes down to brass tacks, but I am a believer when it comes down to Todd's worked with me for years. He knows I'm a numbers guy. I'm the guy that says you can't throw the dice up against the wall but so many times without rolling a 12 sooner or later. For all that's out there, and if you feel like it, tip your head back and look at all those lights, for all that stuff up in the sky, there's got to be some type of life. And what exactly is the definition of life? Is it Marvin the Martian up there trying to blow up Earth? Is it
Marvin the Martian?
Yeah. Is it E.T. trying to get some Reese's Pieces? But, I mean, when you say life on other planets, it doesn't have to be a guy in a flying saucer. It could be a plant. It could be an amoeba the same way it was here billions of years ago. And, for all we know, there could be, something replicating itself. It could be another planet is going through its dinosaur stage while we're sitting here right now. We don't know. But I will say this, for all the stuff is out there, you got to think there's something. Just the law of averages.
I hope he has the Roman gladiator helmet like in cartoons, too. Marvin the Martian. That'd be great.
Yeah, because Earth is obstructing the view of Venus. That's right.
Well,
yeah.
We tend to think that it's an alien presence, from somewhere else. Could it be from some other else? You think, you guys are learned, do you think that we could, that it is possible to travel either, are there different dimensions, could we travel between them? And if so, would that create havoc on them?
Like alternate universes.
Yeah.
Yeah, alternate, parallel, however you want to call it. That's a distinct possibility. There's too much science to back the
right
theoretical possibility of it out. It's and depending upon what science you follow or which models, some of them are fairly probable. not just possible, but fairly probable. And it's both terrifying and immensely interesting.
Yep.
And so could those people that are visiting, not somebody from a different place?
But a different dimension altogether.
Right, just a different dimension. Then you don't have to worry about traveling, you know, the time distance or the distance.
Right.
All you have to worry about is going from one place in the
universe
to another.
One side to the other. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play this one, just a thought, there's a model out there that says time travel, you can only go backwards and not forwards. And the thought is,
it'll
be our own future coming back. Just
right.
A thought.
Right, okay.
And that's
like
been suggested in a couple things.
Here's
where are we
here?
Now?
Just...
When?
Yeah.
Well,
who?
Actually,
sure.
It's kind of interesting that something Dr. John and I have had a few conversations on. One of the Mandela Effect referencing CERN and some of the stuff that they may or may not have learned at CERN that says that's possible. Just to remind Dr. John, I have not forgot about that little one.
Here's the thing, though. Also, after watching these people around here during the hurricane event we had, 50 days ago, after watching the way the people around here acted during that event, let me tell you something. If there's people that could reach other dimensions and the government knows about it, they damn sure don't need to say anything about it, because if these people around here can't handle being, having to stay home for, 5 or 6 days or can't go a week without warming up a hot pocket, Jesus, God knows what they would take with interdimensional travel. I can tell you this. The other dimension is probably going to be good and pissed when we're done.
John,
you're right.
Some of them, Dave, you're not kidding. Some of them would get to another dimension and ask where their EDT is.
Yeah, and screw the whole thing up, you know?
Entertainment has been dabbling with it for a while now. I mean, if you've seen the Marvel Universe, the DC Universe, dabble with it. Just for example, the story of the Micronauts, which is like a micro universe. And then with, Bizarro, who is the alternative and alternate universe to Superman. And you have you got shows like The Simpsons, who's dabbled in alternate universes as well. And it's almost like, in a way, entertainment is kind of like preconditioning ourselves to the possibilities of alternate universes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, couldn't
it's
you take
over.
Toy Story and say Toy Story is an alternate universe? You've got toys that are actually not only talking, but actually have their own social scale, leadership, and
mm-hmm.
Language, blah, blah, blah. I mean, could that be even deemed the same thing? Animals talking. In
right.
any Disney movie and everything, could very well be. I mean, we jump through some type of portal somewhere and we walk around and, we see a little rabbit standing there beating his foot up against the ground and you're going, man, I got to lay off the whiskey, man. I'm looking right at Thumper. And he's like, what's up, dude? You know what I mean? It's just... Hey, of
good
course, it'd probably
me.
Take a couple drops of acid, but I mean,
God.
Yeah.
That might not just be Thumper. You might be in Watership Down.
That's true.
Crocodile Dundee with the kangaroos. Good one, Skippy.
There you go.
We had the kangaroos start shooting the hunters. That was great.
All right. All right, now.
Fantastic.
I have listened as long as I can. I've been dying to jump in because I've actually been dealing with this topic for the last 2 days. And I've been talking with some folks that have had a lot of paranormal experiences. In fact, you can come to the Camden SC Comic Con and you can hear me give my talk about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon on December 1st. But if you think about it, we are indigenous to the four-dimensional world of the XYZ plane and the movement of time. And that's what our bodies are built to live in. Now, if you look at fish, and this is a very simplistic example. Sometimes those simple examples really work. We are not built to live in the water. I mean, we can put a diving suit on. We can get in a submarine. But that's only temporary. We are not indigenous to the water. And if the other races and species that are out there are, likely not indigenous to our Earth. We have a very narrow bandwidth of temperature, which is around, like 0 to about 110. And that's about it. That's a very narrow bandwidth. And there are other forms of life there. They're just all. It's impossible that we're the only ones. It just that's what boggles your mind. But other species are not indigenous to our Earth and our type of climate and everything. So the fact that we see them, we don't interact with them very much, might be that what we've got here is toxic for them. And if we go to their universe or whatever, be a parallel universe. A universe with more dimensions or whatever, we couldn't come in a universe. So I think we may be natural, and this is kind of what I'm getting from a lot of the folks that I've been talking to, is we may be naturally separated based on our environment. And, some big lizard creatures that are 9 feet tall and can just pick us up and eat us, they probably don't do real well right now in Myrtle Beach where it's getting cold. So I think we might be, we might be separated or segregated by environment. We're also segregated or separated by dimensions because we live in what's called M4, which is, the XYZ plane and time. But there are other dimensions. There are particles that travel much faster than light we measured them. It was the Higgs boson particle that came, and it was recorded in Utah by a radio telescope. There are things that are faster than the speed of light, and it defies Einstein's theory, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It came in just a couple seconds, but they got those messages. So we live in a very particular world, and there are other entities that live in other worlds that they may be. I was talking about ghosts today. That there might be a plane that is ghosts, and they can see us, and we can't see them. I mean, there's no way to tell. But there's something out there, and we do tend to share environment. Like we do share our environment. It's just that they live in part of it that we don't. So if you take that model, certainly there are other things. And I heard a creepy one today, Anthony, about UFOs. Is I found a hot shot that is going to be at Comic-Con and do some talk. And he said that he's found out that when UFOs are sighted, military planes are told to get outside of 13 miles from them. They don't really mess around with them unless they're specifically ordered to. They're taught to get away from them. So we're getting where the idea of a UFO is not quite as remote and far-fetched as it used to be. It's just not. So anyway, that's what I got to say. I think we are environmentally segregated, and we will learn more. And I think simple examples, like, as I said, the fish and us and the water versus the land, that's kind of a neat thing. And there are also other forms of life that are down in Antarctica with the thing, and they live in temperatures that we can't possibly live in. So, I think it's all there. And I think the more open we are to it and the more we discuss it, the more we'll actually find a way to, maybe interact with them or something. Who knows? And there's another good thing, and then I'll shut up because I like to talk too much. But if someone has an interaction with space aliens, they may simply be wanting to communicate. And they don't want someone to go running, screaming, scared. They might like a friendly smile and might like to have a talk. Who knows? So you gotta weigh that. You know, are we in a basket? That's right. Are we in a basket? Or should we be afraid and hightail it away from them? I mean, let's face it. If they can get down here, they probably catch us if we're running. I mean, you know, so they'll run way fast. It might not really do any good. So, you know, we might end up being ambassadors, and we might learn a lot more. So that's just another thought. And that came up in a conversation with a fellow this past Sunday, and it was very polite. In fact, you can even hear – you'll be able to hear that story at Camden Comic Con. I think he's on right before me at 3:15. So yeah, that's what I got. Now, anybody have any comments about that? I mean, what do you think, guys? You're smart. I got four smart people here today, not me.
Well, I did want to say something kind of ancillary to what you just said. This week, the University of Scotland, and I kind of was amazed at that, but I was like, okay, I guess they can, you know, announce things. They have been working on, there's a particle or a theory called the spooky theory that none other than Einstein came up with, and it has to do with quantum mechanics and how he knew this or how they knew of this before supercomputers is beyond me. But I guess he theorized that this type of thing was possible. And basically, the smallest little element that they have, let's say a proton or something like that, and you split it in half, there is, for whatever reason, at that incredibly base level, let's say an energy link that links the two halves. So you can have one half out at Venus and the other half on the other side of the solar system, okay? And this little entanglement web still connects them. You can do something. You can touch the one out on the right-hand side of the solar system, and the moment, which is the English word for shortest amount of time that you can talk about, a moment, the moment you touch that particle, the other particle on the other side of the solar system responds. And they proved it. Scotland proved it. Now, what else Scotland did was they wanted to utilize this in communications because, you know, digital is just on, off. If they could do something and also add a little other dimension to it or light, they can have a more complex way of communicating, harder to break, harder to decipher. So they're like, how do we mess with this? And the problem is that entanglement thread is very, 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 very super, super duper delicate. But they realize that if they wrap it up in microwaves, have no clue how, kind of like a telephone cord, if they wrap the microwaves around that entanglement thread, you can touch one and the other one responds instantly, but it doesn't break the connection. That was the key. It doesn't break the connection. With this little breakthrough they had, being able to do that, it's a big deal. It's a big, 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 super big deal. Because the reason Einstein said that it was spooky is it definitely, it basically looks like things are happening faster than the speed of light. And because they happen instantly. And he didn't think that was possible, yet they theorized that this could be. and Scotland and other folks have said it's so. So what John was saying about different, you know, different planes, let's call them, there, who knows 400 years from now what they're going to know about. And that really just kind of excites me to no end. I'm like, wow, what? And it could scare us. It could reveal to us things that we probably were better off not knowing, I think.
Right. Or if the wrong guy gets his hands on it, what can happen
yeah.
with it?
Exactly. Completely exactly. But isn't that interesting that there's stuff
oh, yeah.
like that out there that people are working on, and it just doesn't make the news?
Yeah, it's probably better that it doesn't. You know what I mean? Because going back to the way people are these days, it just the level of simplicity, and I won't use the word stupid because people aren't stupid. They're simple when it comes down to things a lot of times. You know, how many times have you watched a horror movie and everybody on your block has been killed and you find all these bodies laying all over the place and you hear something creaking out of a closet? A rational human being gets up and runs like hell. Okay?
Right.
But I venture to say 80% of the people that we know would walk right out of that closet and see what was in it. And you know, I don't mean to be derogatory when I say that, but it's the truth. Just drive somewhere and watch how go to a grocery store and watch how people push their carts around aimlessly with absolutely no cognizance of what's going on around them. I mean, I talk about it at work all the time how we drive these forklifts and they have flashing lights. I mean, Todd's driven. The flashing lights. It's 4,500-pound piece of machinery. It's clanging and it's banging. You got people around yellow vest on that has horns that's carrying on. And you still have people who just walk right in front of the darn thing. And, you know, to think that there's some guys in Scotland wielding that kind of power, regardless of their level of education, is just, you know, they could be the most honest people in the world. It's still frightening to think that they would be able to wield that kind of power for whatever use. So, yeah, not to mention the fact I come from Scotland and I could already picture the two guys, you know, getting all excited and the one guy says, "You do it. I'll hold him down." You know, it's
I will do that. That's great, Dave.
I mean, but, yeah, you know, Todd was speaking earlier on time travel. And it's and I told you guys, I'm in the process of writing this little, like, little Twilight Zone episodes type thing, doing screenplays. And I'm trying to drum up about 7 or 8 different little things that could be, you know, 15-minute episodes type thing. Well, one of the things hit me just here recently. I was talking to my dad, and you know, both of us are avid sports memorabilia collectors and baseball cards and that kind of stuff. And if you know anything about baseball cards, you know the Grail is that 52 Mickey Mantle rookie, okay? And
yeah, I've heard.
I had mentioned to my dad in passing one day, you know, I just need to get on the stick and build that damn time machine. Because a pack of baseball cards, a large pack of baseball cards back in those days were 5 cents a pack. So if you were to be armed with a lousy $500, okay, and go buy, that will buy you, what, 1,000 packs of those things? 10,000 packs? Okay. Well, I dare say that at least one of those 52 Mantles would be in there, and it would be in absolute mint condition because it hadn't had time to get taped to the spokes on your bike, right? So,
right.
Okay, so I'm the evil genius, and this is where the screenplay is going, and bear with me, I'm working my way through it, but it's another one of those ironic things that make you think. So I go through the trouble of building this time machine with the intention of going back and buying a bunch of these baseball cards. Okay? Well, I build a time machine. I get $500. I scream like a little girl. I jump in the time machine. I dial it back to June of 1952. All right? Well, that's normally how the story would go, right? When you're talking about time travel. Well, first off, walk into any store back in 1952 with a bunch of money that looks like what we carry around today.
You get arrested.
You get locked up. You get beat up. Okay? So you would have to go and make sure you procure dollar bills and coinage prior to 1952, which, you know, with silver notes and all that kind of jazz, will cost you a fair amount of money, especially $500 worth of it, right? So your financial burden is already rising. So what you can't do is jump in that time machine with a pair of jeans, with a pair of Wrangler jeans, canvas boots, and an AC/DC t-shirt. Not going to happen. So what you got to do is you've got to go back and find yourself some saddle shoes. You got to find yourself, you know, the proper socks. And whatever you do, don't get socks with Hanes stitched in the toes, because they weren't like that in 1952. All right? If you roll your ankle going into this store to buy these baseball cards in 1952 and they run you to the hospital and they pop your shoe off and there's a sock that says Hanes on it, guess what? They're going to look at you funny. It's the smallest things that you don't, you know, everything from your identification to the type of footwear you got, even the food, for crying out loud. I mean, Dr. John was just talking about the inability to metabolize food, you know, in other dimensions and everything. Okay, so you go back to 1952, and you're eating real unmonkeyed dairy products, meat products. Think about the health codes back then. I mean, Mel Sharples used to smoke cigarettes and cook everybody's chow, right? So here we are in 2018. Our bodies are trained to eat food that's been handled with plastic gloves and all that kind of nifty stuff. So you go back in 1952 and you eat some chow
You'd be dead in a day, right?
Exactly. You couldn't metabolize the chow. So, I mean, it's all these little things that you don't think about that, you know, the simple side of us immediately thinks, God, what would George Washington go through if he came back now? He wouldn't know what to do with phones and the internet. George Washington wouldn't be able to last 30 seconds because probably the water would kill him. You know what I mean? So
great ideas.
You know, if you have wielded the power and the ability to do these things, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know what I mean? You never can tell what you're going to get your hands on.
So yes,
I'm done calling
right.
Humanity a bunch of dummies. Excuse me.
Well, you know, I mean, that's some really smart stuff, Dave. And we, you know, I like hearing things like that, because the minute you started talking about it, I never really thought about that. As soon as you started talking about it, I realized, golly, you can't metabolize food. You know, you could walk. I mean, you try to smoke a cigarette from back then, it'd burn your lungs up. You know, because there's no such thing as a culture. And God, your money. You know, you got a problem there. Sure, you can take some gold back. Or if you take some gold back, it was only worth about 11, 12 bucks an ounce back then. I mean, you have to take millions, almost millions of dollars worth of gold or whatever to buy those cards. And so there are terrible problems. And another problem is the cataclysmic potential changes. If you buy that box and Joe Smith does not get it, and Joe's grandson doesn't sell it for $500,000 and build a building that is on your street, and your family doesn't get paid for this, all the calamity it can cause, because by changing one little thing, you might end up. This is great. There was Twilight Zone where a guy went back and he wanted to tell a battleship that it was going to get hit by a German torpedo because his father was on it. As soon as he went back and told them that, all of a sudden, the whole world ended, because apparently that one thing just so much happened that he was all of a sudden in the complete dark, and his whole world had collapsed. So that's the problem. One small change can have such serious effects, such serious cascading effects. So that's another problem about time travel. So you gotta be a little careful with that, but there may be some reasons why we can't go forward in time. Or we can go back. We can go forward in time. So there you go with that. And Anthony, I guess you never knew where this conversation was going to go, but it's gone some pretty good direction, don't you think?
Well, let me mention this, because it's interesting that you know that we have these conversations. One of the things we're now currently, we being Eno River, are currently looking at doing some shorts. And one of the shorts we're playing with is you have to do a short that you can do, that you have access to decent locations, the clothing that you would need, stuff like that. And we were thinking of trying to do something that's a bit more, kind of a clip, or not necessarily a clip, but like a scene out of a bigger movie, and trying to paint the intensity in that scene. And the scene we'd come up with is something similar. There's, of course, fog, and there's this lone deputy, and he's filling out paperwork, and I've seen that over and over again where I grew up. Out in the, not necessarily the middle of nowhere, but, out in the country. And out of the fog comes a truck, and it's looking pretty raggedy. And there are these people that are, the truck stops, they get out. The guy didn't have his lights on, the patrol guy, and he's working on his laptop. And I'm sure we've all seen that, the cop over to the side just doing paperwork. And these guys go, they're trying to, get their bearings, more or less. And then they notice he turns on his lights. And they look at him, and they freak out. And then they're loaded. They're loaded to the gills with guns. I mean, loaded. Like, each of them has 5 guns on them. Something weird, right? And he's like, what in the hell is this? So he gets out, and he's walking toward them, and he's about to do his mic, right, to say that he's about to do that. And he's about to do it, and somebody behind him puts a gun to his head and says, I can't believe he was about to do that. And then there's this great big conversation from these guys about this guy was about to key a radio. And from where they're from, keying a radio brings or tracks really bad things that come and eat you. And nobody does it. It's just not done anymore. Where the hell how do you even have a radio? So these people have come from a different either dimension or time. And what I'm trying to do, or what we're trying to work on, is how would the deputy react? I mean, it would take him a while, I think. It would take him a moment to realize, wait a minute, these guys aren't worried about my gun or anything else.
they were worried about me actually keying the mic. How do you think that would catch people's attention? Do you think that would be interesting or not?
Anybody?
Well, most certainly, because you got to wonder what the motive is to do that when the obvious motive is the guns.
Right.
To me, it would seem there's a larger agenda afoot. You know what I mean? It's because you're standing there with a bag full of $100 bills, and you got your cell phone in your left hand and this leather bag full of, $1 million in your right, and the guy walks up to you and goes, "Give me your phone." You know what I mean? It's telling you, "Wait a second,
yep.
Cuz, what you got going on here?" You know. You need to make one thing that stirs the mind.
Now, see, in Hollywood, the way you get your fog environment is they literally do it in an enclosed room and they fill it up with fog, right? They recreate that part of the street,
right?
In a store, in a warehouse, and then they fill it up with fog and boom, and with that, you only have a certain amount of time before the fog starts layering. And it doesn't look real, and then you have to blow it all out and do it all over again. So you really only, even in those conditions, only have about 45 minutes to do your scene. Isn't that amazing?
It's the little things, you know what I mean? The stuff that you don't think about until it ruins the whole day's worth of shooting, of course.
Actually, I was just thinking, if you don't mind, your story, if you're going to present it, Twilight Zone came to mind in the way they brought the twist into the story with that whole thing. You know, they always have that so-called normalcy. They'll build a little bit of the twist in. And then, I see Roddy McDowall saying, "Oh, my God, they are just like us."
Yeah.
As he was in a little toy model. Just a thought. That's my first thought on presentation.
Okay. It's one of those things where we have
God, that'd be a great
doable,
short story.
It's a short. It's something that is short. We've not done an intense moment like that before, and we have some really good actors that can pull it off, I think, incredibly well right now. And I want to use that. I want to showcase their talent. But I want it to be somewhat interesting and where people would go, "Ooh, what happened next?"
Yep.
And that's always nice as a filmmaker.
Hey, Anthony, is Andrew Huggins going to
say it again, John?
Is Andrew Huggins going to direct it?
Who? Andrew Huggins? We haven't gotten down to who's going to direct it yet. I think he would enjoy it. He has told me over and over again he's willing to direct anything we come up with, which I think is a pretty crazy statement. No director should say that to a producer.
He's a sharp guy when it comes to his film. So I was just wondering.
Well, we have several. There are several sharp guys in the area, and we like to spread the wealth. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the timing is.
Gotcha.
But now, I know where Rob lives. I know where you live, John. The other two gentlemen, where do you guys live?
Three of us, actually.
Todd, go ahead, buddy.
I am currently in Indianapolis.
Wow.
My domicile, if you will, is in North Carolina on the East Coast.
Okay.
I'm out here doing
the
morning show.
Jacksonville.
Florida?
Right here.
Or North?
No, Jacksonville, North Carolina, right here on the New River. Probably about 15 minutes from the coast and probably 20 to 30 minutes from where Stroh's at Emerald Isle.
Okay.
So we're all kind of located in North Carolina, really, and all that. And I think, you know, I think that's good. Well, I tell you what, we're about to get Never Never Land time. It's right around 10 p.m. And Anthony, I want to thank you for your thoughtful comments and questions and your topics. I think we really learned a lot, and we started talking about things that we don't get to talk about a lot. I think it's really wonderful. But what I'd like to do, as we learn from Papa Stroh, I'd like to go around the room and let everybody do a plug, and then we'll say sign art to next week. And another exciting guest on, Pop Culture Stars and everything. So if I'm gonna start with Anthony. What have you got to plug for this coming week?
This upcoming week? Well, we're just trying to get our ducks in a row as we go toward the end of the year. Nothing noteworthy. I would love to implore all the folks listening to go watch a movie.
That's a great plug, actually.
Just,
that'll help.
Just don't watch Halloween.
Oh, whoa. I'm about to. Why not?
Just make sure you get plenty of popcorn. It's, it's all right. Storyline-wise, it's fairly interesting. But when it comes down to anything that'll get your, put it to you this way. It's okay if a heart patient watches it.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's horrible. No.
Yeah,
oh,
not a whole lot of adrenaline going on there. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like watching fried green tomatoes, but it's probably going to work you up about as much.
Okay.
Add a little bit of salt on those fried green tomatoes. That'll work you up a little more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Anthony, thanks. So your plug is to go watch a movie, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. That's a good one. Dave, since you were just talking, what you got to plug this week?
Two quick plugs. Number one, a big happy birthday to none other than Dr. John, who turned 22 yesterday.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Happy birthday. And also a big happy birthday to, of course,
Don't
my brother Todd and my dad, the Sergeant Major, the United States Marine Corps, November 10th. If you have any connection with the Marine Corps and do not know what November 10th is, you will be taken and dropped off on a road naked somewhere and left.
Okay.
Well, jump in here because that's my plug, too. We're talking 243 years, 1775, Tunn's Tavern. The United States Marine Corps was born. And, I bring a little intensity with that because I did 20 years and change on active duty, and I am currently doing contract support for the United States Marine Corps and feeling a little more fulfilled in life once again.
Well, you've done a lot for our country, and we hear Pop Culture Stars really appreciate that. So that is an absolutely great plug, and thank you so much. Papa Stroh, what have you got to plug? You always have an interesting list and line of things going on.
Coming up actually later on tonight, 2 a.m., I'm going to be on the Scary Cast podcast along with yourself, Dr. John.
Yep.
Looking forward to that. Scarycast.com, folks, is where you can check it out. Also, coming up next weekend on Saturday and Sunday, November 17th and 18th, I will be appearing at the Jingle Bell Market off of the Florence Center in Florence, South Carolina. So looking forward to being part of Jingle Bell Market. And for more info, go to jinglebellmarket.com. Also, my film documentary, The Maestro, is playing and screening at Yollywood Film Festival in Atlanta, Georgia on 11/29 at 7:30 p.m. And for more information, rather, how you can be part of the Yollywood Film Festival in your area in Atlanta, Georgia, go to yollywood.org. That's with a Y, yollywood.org. And coming up towards the end of the month, Dr. John, we got the Charles Dickens Krampus Festival in historical Camden, South Carolina. And looking forward to being part of that great weekend of events as well. CharlesDickens.com, I believe that's the website, and KrampusFestival.org. CharlesDickensFestival.com and KrampusFestival.org. O-R-G.
Yep.
Those are two websites for that. And and also in stores, on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, is the Rack Pack store. And, I'm in it. See Thomas Howell, David Shifter, Tom Gore, Randy Jones, the story of our friend Daryl Rackley growing up with his friends known as the Rack Pack. It's a fun family film for everybody to enjoy. So be sure to get your copy today as well. And for all the latest in TV, wrestling, film, and new Papa Stro Christmas and holiday, happy holiday merchandise, go to my official website, thestro.com, thestro.com. On Facebook at Stro the Maestro, Twitter at Sign the Stro, and on Instagram at Stro Maestro. And be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, two words, STRO, second word, MESTRO. Put that in the YouTube search. And you guys take care. It's always a pleasure to be here on Pop Culture Stars. And God bless. Have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend.
Well, thanks very much. And I guess what I'll plug is I'm just working away trying to get the festival, the Camden SC Comic Con, and the Charles Dickens Festival going. Well, I think we've got right now about 44 vendors total between the two, which is a phenomenal number for Historic Camden. And we're just adding more, getting some great things next week, big announcements as to the Comic-Con, the Krampus Festival, and Charles Dickens. Just got a lot of great surprises and good things to talk about. So I want to say thanks to our guest, Mr. Anthony Dowling. Thanks to our panel.
Oh, yeah, most
experts.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Papa Stro, thanks to Dave. Thanks to Todd. I'm just glad I'm still here. And it's a lot of fun, yeah. And yeah, 2 a.m. tonight, Lord help us. Marky Makeup is our guest on Scary Cat. I mean, it's crazy. And end of the month, Jen Cruz from the Sea Squatchers will be on the Scary Cat. And we'll have another great guest next week on the one and only Pop Culture Stars. So thanks, everybody. I'm going to see if I can find the British lady. And so have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Good night, everybody. What a world.
The British chick's from another dimension. She's an alien from Uranus. Where is she at?